My guest at this time is Reed Wilson, political reporter for the National Journal's Hotline on Call. He is here to talk about some of the critical elections on the ballot in several states around the country coming up this Tuesday, June 8th. And Reed, it's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, the biggest state in the country population-wise, of course, is California, and there are some critical primaries over there, mainly on the Republican side for both governor and U.S. Senate. The Democrats have some as well. As far as the Republican Senate primary, they see Barbara Boxer more vulnerable than normal in her previous elections. How realistic is their hopes of taking over that seat, and which candidate is likely to emerge on Tuesday?
Well, I'm not sure it's terribly realistic. California is, after all, a very Democratic state. But as you say, Republicans think they have a better shot now than they basically have since Pete Wilson won the Senate seat back in 1988. So, Barbara Boxer is going to have a little bit of trouble this year. I think that what we're likely to see is that in the Republican side, former Hewlett-Packard executive Carly Fiorina is probably ahead at the moment. We've seen some polls sort of bouncing around over the last couple of days. But Carly Fiorina probably leads over former Congressman Tom Campbell. Fiorina is going to have some problems in the general election, though, because she has gone very far to the right in her primary in order to win and shut down a challenge that she got as well from her own right flank, a challenge that has sort of dissipated over the last few months. So I think Carly Fiorina and Barbara Boxer are going to end up running against each other in November. We'll see whether or not Carly Fiorina has gone too far to the right. This is the problem with primaries, though. When you're running in a party and you're trying to convince your own voters that you are enough like them, they generally tend to force you towards one extreme or the other. That frequently becomes a problem. Carly Fiorina will have to tact back towards the middle very quickly.
Helps the other side put their ad campaigns together pretty much right from the primaries. Let's move to the governor's race now. Obviously, Arnold Schwarzenegger not on the ballot this year. It looks as though former governor Jerry Brown will be the nominee for the Democrats. Republicans have a bit of a fight there. Will it be a Brown-Whitman race in the fall?
It's looking like that. Once again, much like Carly Fiorina, Meg Whitman, who's spending a boatload of her own money. She's up somewhere around $70 million of her own money on this race so far. Had some problems over the last couple of months, especially given questions about her legitimacy on immigration issues specifically. That is sort of dissipated too, though, and now we're seeing Meg Whitman with a big lead over Insurance Commissioner Steve Poizner, both of whom have spent, as I say, millions of dollars on this race. Looks like Jerry Brown and Meg Whitman are headed for a November showdown.
Next door to California is Nevada, where Republicans are jockeying to face Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader in the fall. Republicans think that's a pickup. Pretty much a three-person race with some fluctuating polls there. Who seems to have the edge right now?
And the last-minute momentum is all going towards Assemblywoman Sharon Angle, and this is really a shocking development over the last month and a half or so. Sharon Angle was mired in single digits, 5-6% in all the polls. She's got a very small base up near Reno and Carson City in the northwest part of the state, but she is also the favorite of the Tea Party groups. And if you're really taking a look around the country at candidates who can say that they owe their success to the Tea Party, I think your list at the moment is Rand Paul in Kentucky and Sharon Angle in Nevada. Sharon Angle is the most conservative person in this Republican primary, and that scares Republicans a little bit. Harry Reid has a boatload of money that he's going to be able to spend for this general election, and Republicans are worried that he's going to come out early, define their opponent while their opponent, while Reid's opponent stocks up on money, whoever it may be, and sort of the race will be over from day one. With a candidate like Sharon Angle, Harry Reid's opportunity to do that is much greater. She has taken more votes in the state legislature. She has taken some positions that put her on the right wing of her own party. So this is going to be a race to define who is Sharon Angle in the mind of Nevada voters. And given Harry Reid's unpopularity out there, that's really his only path to victory. This race cannot be a referendum on Harry Reid, because then Harry Reid will lose. If this race is a choice between Harry Reid and Sharon Angle, then Harry Reid has a very good chance to win.
Let's move over now to Arkansas, because what we saw last month was Blanche Lincoln. She got the most votes but didn't get the majority of the votes. Now she's got to face off one-on-one with the state's lieutenant governor. Where's the edge on that one right now?
The edge looks like it's with Bill Halter, the lieutenant governor, right now. If any candidate who's an incumbent doesn't get 50% in a primary, that obviously means the corollary there is that, you know, more than half of the voters in the state voted against you the first time around. They're really incumbents have a very hard time picking up new votes. They really are in a race, a race against bleeding old votes. So Blanche Lincoln's in a world of trouble here. Especially given the dynamics of a runoff. Primary elections, we all know, have very low turnouts, but runoff elections, the turnout is even lower. And when you're talking about a low turnout, you're talking about the absolute base of either party. And at the moment, the absolute base, the Democratic base, is much more fired up about Bill Halter than they are about Blanche Lincoln.
While Republicans have designs on making gains in the Senate, they probably would agree that their best chance of actually winning a chamber of Congress would be in the House. Some key races there in Virginia and Iowa to watch on Tuesday. Which ones in particular should we keep our eyes on?
Well, I'm keeping a real close eye on Virginia's 5th Congressional District. It's headquarters down in Charlottesville, Virginia, and goes all the way down to the North Carolina line. That's where Congressman Tom Perriello won a House seat last year. He's going to face a real strong challenge, likely from a state senator named Robert Hurt. But as Republicans are dealing with this Tea Party phenomenon, they are finding a number of their handpicked candidates from around the country are facing challenges because they are seen as the establishment. Robert Hurt is one of those guys who is seen as more of an establishment candidate. Tea Party groups are trying to coalesce around a candidate to give Robert Hurt a real serious challenge on Tuesday. If they are able to do damage to the Republican candidate in Virginia's 5th District or Virginia's 2nd District, where Congressman Glenn Nye will face a tough challenge, or anywhere else across the country, we've already seen it in a couple of places. That is what could put a real damper on Republican efforts to win in November. Take a look at a primary that happened last week in Idaho, where the Republican Party's handpicked candidate went down to defeat by 9 points to a state representative who really only raised about $50,000. That state representative, who has some very conservative views, even for a state like Idaho, will now face an incumbent member of Congress who has $970,000+ in the bank. At some point, money does matter, even in a big national wave. That's where Democrats, sort of structural advantage is, whereas Republicans are sort of fighting against this Tea Party movement.
The last 30 seconds or so here, Reid, we've already seen in several primaries incumbents go down. Some of that's due to party switching over the past few months. Others just flat out went down, like Alan Mollahan. Any incumbents on the ballot next Tuesday that you think are vulnerable?
Well, there is one, and it's in South Carolina. Congressman Bob Inglis is a pretty conservative Republican, but he voted in favor of TARP legislation and in favor of some other things that got conservative activists riled up. This is it's a district up in what's called the Greenville-Spartanburg area, up in the northwest corner of the state. If the Tea Party movement is really gunning for incumbents, Bob Inglis could be in trouble. I don't know that he is yet. We'll have to wait and see.
And obviously a big governor's race there as well to keep an eye on. Reid, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Reid Wilson of National Journal's Hotline on Call. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.